Look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Let me just point out a thought for you. Certainly a Jewish believer, well trained in the scriptures as Joseph seemingly was, would not have been foreign or stranger to the idea of the Holy Ghost. But you've got to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit was vastly different prior to the day of Pentecost. And everything that is being said in here, the conception and all of that, you've got to really, we ought to give that more credence than we do, how trusting and how deep Joseph's faith was to believe, with the limited knowledge that he had of the Holy Ghost, to be told that his betrothed wife is with child of the Holy Ghost. That's a lot. And we ought not to miss that. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I heard a message a few weeks ago about the simplicity of his name. If you're a Bible student, and many of you are, most of you are, that would make the extra effort to get to a Wednesday night prayer meeting, there was a child born in the book of Isaiah. I didn't look it up to make sure I get all the syllables in there, but most of you have read the name, so if I slaughter it, forgive me. But the child's name was Maher Shalaz Hasbaz. And the preacher said, aren't you glad that is not what God chose to name his son? Think about your prayer time. Think about our hymn book. Oh, how I love. Aren't you glad his name is Jesus? For more than reasons than that. But you know what? God knew that. And boy, it's beautiful. As we had the Hispanic family Sunday before last, and Miss Penny prophesied in another tongue and said that Jesus was her Savior. Jesucristo, that is a beautiful name to hear in any language. Amen. I love his name. I'm looking tonight, and it's simple, and I'm not even delving into everything about Joseph in the verses that I read tonight. But I'm looking tonight specifically at Joseph. And I want to say to the young men and the men that he is a model for us of character and integrity. And I would say to the ladies in the auditorium, you ought to be praying for a man of character and integrity. If you have daughters in your home, you ought to be praying that they marry a man of character and integrity. They are few and far between. We as a church ought to be producing, if that's a good word to use, men of character and integrity. As this ministry stays stable, moving forward, as it the Lord has allowed it to be for many years, a man who comes from Progress Baptist Church, who grows up here, marries here, raises a family here, a man known as a man of Progress Baptist ought to have a testimony in Western North Carolina of being a man of character and integrity. A friend, and through my wife's side of the family, a family member in the upstate of South Carolina with whom we were fellowshipping, with their family, but we only see them once or twice a year, sometimes less than that. But we were fellowshipping several years ago. He's a self-employed general contractor and a part of house building, a part of what's involved when you build a house. I won't even say which part is what he does. And we mentioned someone we knew who did that and was a member of a fairly well-known Bible-believing Fundamental Independent Baptist Church in the upstate. There are many, so don't try to figure out which one that was. And sitting there at the table, he said, "Oh, no. I've done business with the last member of that church that I'll ever do business with." You would have to know the man I was talking with to know his character and to know that he's not a busybody in other men's matters and not just somebody to just, you know, that's not what we call fellowship, sitting around the table talking about people. That'd be a real good place for an amen right there. And that's just not his nature and his character. And he said, "Oh, no, no." He said, "There's a mentality there of how they do business, and I'll not hire any of them ever again." That's tragic. As a pastor, I would want to know that so I could address whatever is going on. The sad truth of the matter is that often stems from the pulpit. Just a mindset of business and money and people emanates from a pulpit. And you say, you know, and you say, "Well, if you were crooked preacher, you wouldn't affect me because I'm not." No, and you probably wouldn't stay. What I'm saying is, when you're in a place a very long time, if that's your character, everybody know where I'm going with this. That's what you attract. You understand me? If these boys grow up here, okay, several of them weren't even born when I came 11 years ago. If they grow up here, marry here, raise families here, they ought to be known in Western North Carolina and beyond as men of character and integrity. Amen? I mean, and beyond that, okay, it's not just men, okay, but I'm saying that because we're looking at Joseph tonight. And again, there's more in this passage about Joseph than the three simple points I'm going to give you, but this is what the Lord laid on my heart. Look in verse number 19, verse number 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Look in verse number 20. "But while he thought on these things..." So point number one is from verse number 19, the meekness of Joseph. Look at verse number 20, the meditation of Joseph while he did what? Thought on these things. Have you ever worked for anybody whose middle name was Rash? And I am not talking about red skin. Have you ever worked for anybody who was Rash? They made a decision, they pulled the trigger and then thought about it. We're just right down where we live tonight, Micah. Okay, you follow me? You ever worked for that person? If you like to give at least half a second's thought to something before you do it, that will drive you crazy. And there's a ton right there in that verse, while he thought on these things. You say, "Brother Raines, what are you going to get out of that?" He already knew what the Old Testament told him to do. So look in verse number 25, "And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus." The maturity of Joseph. Would you agree with me? We need some meekness And we need some men that'll meditate, think, ponder. And then lastly, we need some maturity. I feel like I grew up, and I say this often, I hope I don't say it so often that it bores you, but I feel like I grew up with the last remnants of an America that had some decency and character and maturity about it. I'm 59, born in 1962. I know that sounds like medieval history to two-thirds of you. I really do get it, okay? It dawned on me the other day, being born in 1962, that I was born 17 years after. Everybody just grab a pew. I was born 17 years after the end of World War II. A kid born when World War II ended would have just been a 17-year-old in high school when I was born. And you're going, you know, why are you, you know, that's really weird, preacher. Why did you spend enough time to think about that? How long ago was 9/11? So all of you smart alecks looking at me like you are right now, like, you're really that close to World War II? Yeah, and in a few more years, somebody's going to say, you were alive at 9/11? How many of you figured out life is a vapor? So being born 17 years after what most Americans, at least those with brain cells, what most Americans call the greatest generation. And they say it thankfully, they say it proudly, they say it with a sense of American nationalism. Okay, and they're thankful for all that. So, Preacher Raines, being born when I was, America still had a lot of that. It was fading, but it wasn't fading quickly. And fortunately, if you got away from some of the major metropolitan cities in our nation, and I would strongly encourage you to do that, if you're going to raise kids. I decided after we went to Maine, okay, that America is really not North and South, as proud as I am to be from the South, okay? America is not really North and South. America is really metropolitan and rural. You get those little pockets of all that metropolitan and city thinking. Okay, I don't know what it is when you pack people in there together. God didn't like it either. Read Genesis chapter, do you know, 11. They're all trying to come together, and God said, this ain't going to work. You're going to speak. You're going to speak hillbilly. You're going to speak. You're going to speak. You're going to speak. You're going to speak. Who wants to see the Tower of Babel on a video in heaven one day? That would totally be awesome. They're just working, and God says the word, and they're divided into, only he knows how many languages. Don't you know some people got fired up that day, okay? Okay, so I decided long that America is really, you know, cities and rural. Because, man, you get away from the city, and there's just good old, honest, decent, hardworking people everywhere you go. Maine, South Dakota, okay, just good old salt-of-the-earth people, okay? Now, that pains me to say that, because I think it's all about the Mason-Dixon line. Okay, but there's good people wherever you go. There's also idiots everywhere you go. Verse number 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example. Meekness. Meekness is power under control. If you think meekness is a soft, non-working man that cows down, honey, can I say something? Can I contribute to this conversation? No, I'll tell you when you can. Yes, ma'am. If y'all don't help me, I'm going to just stay right there because I'm going to think you're all guilty. If that's what you think meekness is, you are wrong. Who was the meekest man on the face of the earth according to the Bible? Moses led. The numbers range all over the map. Moses led several million people for many, many years. You don't do that like this. And Moses could get fired up. No excuse for anger and abuse and all of that. But let me tell you something. Some drive about you is a good thing. It needs to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You mamas, don't try to make your boys girls. All this gender mess. Let me tell you something. He ought to be a gentleman. He ought to know how to treat a lady. He ought to know how to clean up. Okay, you don't have to be a Neanderthal. You don't have to be. Are you boys? Do you know what a Neanderthal is? It's a man who looks and acts like an ape. Don't do that. And Alyssa, don't marry one. Okay, you can clean up. Soap ain't expensive. Even in a Biden economy, you can buy you a bar of soap. If you can't, I'll buy you one. Clean up. Dad used to tell our men, he'd say, some of y'all need to get your love life back on track. He'd say, and I can tell you what'll help. He said, I hugged you in the prayer room a while ago, and your breath smells like pulpwood. I've helped move wood and all that and split some wood. I'm not real sure what he meant, but I got the implication that that was not a good thing. And that it was also detrimental to a good night kiss. And if you boys don't want one, there's something wrong with you. And if you boys are getting one, you need to quit it and wait till you got a marriage license on the wall. And if you and your daddy will come see me after church, I'll tell you why. It's like one youth pastor said. He said, it's y'all's job to try to get together. It's my job to keep you apart. I'm telling you, in 2021, with all the weirdness going on in the world, I'm glad to see a little testosterone every now and then. So we'll be somewhere, and a young man will have a little, you know, too much, you know, drive about him, a little louder than he needs to be, a little more boisterous than he needs to be. Chris will go, somebody needs to help him. I said, I'm just glad to see a man acting like a man. Come on. An American GI went to the airport at Charles de Gaulle. That's the airport. And they said, in that French accent, which I've got one accent, and y'all know exactly what that is. Okay, it's called Andy Griffith, okay? And he said, where's your passport? He said, I don't need one. He said, you don't get into this country without one. He said, the last time I came, they didn't ask for one because I got off a boat and protected your beaches. Francois stamped it, a piece of paper, and said, come on in, sir. Thank you for your service. Y'all with me? Okay, so here's the thing. Joseph finds out that his betrothed wife, not going to really get into a deep conversation about the three stages of a Jewish marriage. Okay, just don't want to take the time there. But he finds out that she's expecting, and he knows the baby's not his, and she tells him it's God's. Okay, and he looked at her the way we would look at her. And he has every biblical right to treat her very ugly. Y'all have read your Bible. And he chose not to. Please get this. When we have to do a severe thing, let us do it in the tenderest manner. Maybe we shall not have to do it at all. When we have to do a severe thing, may we do it in the tenderest manner. Maybe we won't have to do it at all. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. Who would have been right? If he had taken the strictest approach, who would have been right? So, just say it. Joseph. He had every right. He said, I don't want to make her look bad. This is pre-angelic visitation. He has no assurance of what she's telling him other than her word. But he's not willing to make her a public example. Keep your private affairs off of Facebook. Passive aggressive. It's sin. I'm not just running a rabbit. I'm not just on a rant. I'm not just on a soapbox. It's sin. Go sit down and talk to somebody. Go to a prayer closet. open a Bible. Progress churches are splitting and have for years now because of social media. That is ungodly. And the world knows it. There are positions, Micah, that I feel very strongly about and feel like social media is an appropriate platform to say so on certain things at certain times. It's the general store of my grandfather's generation, right? Where the people come together and talk. So I don't think that it's a wrong thing to use. But I also know I have former coworkers and many, many, many lost family that are watching and listening. So why would I expose them to a grievance with a brother when I am begging God passionately to save them from eternal damnation? Our pastor, who we loved and love like family, I cannot even, I think Pleasant View loved you that way, and I think y'all love me that way. So all I know to tell you is we loved him the way y'all love me. You have no idea. You have no idea. He fell. Preacher Raines waited, Micah, 5 years to tell me. Here's what he said. You had no need to know. You didn't need, his health was bad. He wasn't going to be coming into our area anymore. He said there was not one reason. A situation arose where I did need to know. And he sat down and told me. And we both wept. And I still remember that sick, literally sick, nauseated feeling. I'm glad there wasn't such a thing as social media back then, because it would have been everywhere. It's wrong. And men of character don't do it. Men of character don't do it. Talk to the person. If you can't resolve it, the only people who need to know are the ones who need to know. And be real careful how you define need to know, okay? So here's my question to us. Men, are we meek? Do we have power that is under control? Or, Brother Fred, are we a loose cannon? Brother Ains, you know this to be true. Might say most of you in this auditorium know this to be true. There are men better preachers, and I mean that in every sense of the word. Their ability to get something from the word and their ability to deliver it is excellent. But they are loose cannons because they are not under the control of the Holy Spirit. And in addition to that amazing message, you don't know what else you might hear. Okay? You follow me? And I'm just saying to all of us, men on the pew, men that have a Sunday school class, men that testify, men that work, men that are involved in the ministry, we need to be meek. And that means power under control. And there's a lot to be said for self-control, but there's a lot more to be said for spirit control. Because there's times when myself doesn't want to be in control. Myself is saying, do it. Say it. Write it. Post it. But under the Spirit's control, I can crucify what Doug wants to do. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, here's my word, meditation. Meekness, number two, meditation. It's clear that he's got an action he wants to take. He's meditating. He's mulling it over. He's pondering it. okay? Ruminating. Most of you know the gross definition of ruminating, where the cow chews it, swallows it, calls it back up. How polite was that? And works on it some more and sends it back and does that several times. He's doing that with this decision that he's got to make while he thought on these things. But I went ahead and looked up the word thought. It is literally a compound of two Greek words. One is a preposition, which wouldn't mean a whole lot to any of us. But the other word that was pulled together to make the English, what became the English word thought, was a word that had several definitions, but all of them dealt with this: fierceness. And I meditated on that for just a little bit. And what that showed me, Matthew, was how serious this. He's not kicked back with a bag of Cheetos. Oh, man, old Mary, why'd she do that, man? Man, we had a good thing going. Man, she has got me in the awfulest. That's not what's happening. He is passionately searching his heart, probably searching the scripture, probably, we don't know, getting godly counsel. The word that came together to make the word thought was fierceness, aggressiveness, assertiveness. That ties in with that first word, meekness. He's got this power, he's got this drive about him, but he's channeling it. He's not a loose cannon, just spouting off. While he thought on these things, what happened while he was thinking? Somebody look at you know, what's the next? An angel appeared. We've got a whole Bible. We don't need angelic appearances. But who agrees with me? That would be really, can I say it? Cool. You know, who talked to you last night? Oh, an angel. That's good. That's good. You think you Jacob in the law, in the Torah? No, an angel woke me up and said, you know, let me sleep. But it was real. It was an angel told me this. So there's wisdom in waiting. There's wisdom in waiting and fiercely debating in your mind and in your heart, what do I need to do? Jake, haven't asked you in 2.5 weeks. And my brain remembering so many weird things, the things I don't remember just baffle me. How old are you?
18.
And when will you be 19?
Okay,
but you're already rolling up to 19, right? Okay. You will make several lifelong decisions in the next 24 months. Did you know that? You better make some good ones. Now, anybody who made some really stupid ones in the 24-month period in your life is going, but somebody told me. Say amen right there, okay? Just don't elbow your wife. And not everybody gets married between 18 and 21. I'm just saying. But let's face it, relationship-wise, he's going to make some critical decisions. Whether or not he's married in 2 years or not, okay? He's going to make some critical decisions about relationships. So you better be making some good ones, okay? All of us. All of us. Career, education, relationships. Just all kinds of things. Is there hope? Is there help after age 21? Absolutely. Absolutely. I preach at every other service. But I think everybody in here would agree that is he's at a crossroads. And if nothing else, and there is more else, but if nothing else, he is laying foundations at these crossroads that will affect him the rest of his life. So here he is meditating. And I wrote this: Joseph gave much serious thought to this matter. Listen to me carefully, and I know I say it a lot. I hope I don't say it so much that it doesn't mean anything to you. This is keeping us from serious contemplation. And I don't know the answer for you, But I am begging you, get an answer. If it is blocking out periods of the day when it's just not used. Few, if any of us, are that important. None of us, not few, none of us can handle this much inflow of information. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. That means to cause to sin. That means hurt your feelings. My foot has never hurt my feelings. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy hand causes thee to sin, cut it off. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. The only reason he didn't say cut it off is it's recessed. Right? If your phone offends you, what's the definition of offend? Would you say the next three words with me? Cut it off. It's not worth it. 12 years ago, I preached in a meeting with amazing quality of preaching. And I preached the tragedy of technology. And all my life has been spent with young people, Christian school. After 10 years in the banking world, the Lord moved me into Christian education. And all my life I've been with young people. This was 2000. I'm thinking, I lost 10 years. Okay, that also happens, okay? I just lost a decade, okay? It was 2008, 2009, so I'd been working with in Christian education 16 years at that point, and had seen young people's lives destroyed because of technology, and none of us had these. Okay, if you had a little Get Smart flip phone with an antenna and stood like this and barely got a signal and could talk, and texting, that was a real treat. So that was the technology we were dealing with then. And I preached on the tragedy of technology. I felt like a JV with, not varsity, with college and pro, okay? And I sat down, and two men that I have the highest regard for, long-term, successful pastorates in anybody's definition, made beelines for me and said, preach it everywhere you go. They verbatim, two different men, two different conversations, said this. Both of them said the same thing. I'm dealing with a horrible, I don't mean questionable, a horrible situation in my church involving two marriages. You remember how I told you texting was back in that day? And they said it all started with a text. One text from one party to another was destroying two families and in two different churches, Christian. Now, if you broke up somebody's home with a text 15 years ago, you're deliberate about it. It's a whole lot easier now than it was then. I'm just going to say it. Because if you're doing it, you need to be embarrassed and you need to quit. Sexting wasn't even heard of. We live in Sodom and Gomorrah. And your pastor is here to ask you, and I would get on my knees if I thought it would help you. If you need help in that area, get it tonight. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. That little floozy flirting, that old geezer who's trying to have one last fling. Okay, I'll do any stereotype I can to get our attention. We live in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we better guard our minds. And if this is hurting it, get rid of it. Take a sledgehammer to it. I was counseling a young man back in that era. The devil had started using this. I said, what do you need to do with it? He said, get rid of it. I said, how would you like to do it? He said, can I drive my truck back and forth over it? I said, can I put it in gear? And we laid it on an asphalt parking lot. And he went back and forth and back and forth. And it was powder. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Meditate. You say, Brother Raines, how does that fit all this purity stuff you're talking about? A whole lot of people wouldn't have messed up the way they have if they had stopped for 30 minutes and thought about it. If Dave Ramsey can make millions of dollars for people to pay him to say, if you've got car fever, go take a cold shower and get over it. And they pay him to say that. And I say it, and y'all look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Take a cold shower. Here's what Briscoe Darling said to his son-in-law. You need to curb them, their hot flashes. Come on now. We could have a men's retreat out at Youngblood's farm and dairy and sit around the fire and have 30 and under on one side and 30 and above on the other, like an Indian powwow, and let the men on the right side say to the ones on the left, if I'd have waited 30 minutes 25 years ago, my life would have been a whole lot different. January will start year number 12. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I've had man after man. My wife has had multiple women sit down with us and say, please keep preaching like you're preaching and warn our young people not to make some of the mistakes I've made. I've had men sit down with me, Seth, and say, preacher, I know you don't want to hear this, but you think so highly of me. I feel like you need to know what a scoundrel I've been and some boneheaded decisions I made earlier in my life. And I said, if you need a clear conscience, go ahead. But let me assure you, if it's under the blood, I don't need to hear it. They said, preacher, it's under the blood. But from man to man, I want you to know that I am salvaged goods and I've made some stupid mistakes. Part of me respects that character for them to just say, here's what they said, Christian. When I look you in the eye, I don't want anything in the back of my, they said, I know it's not in yours. They just said, I want you to know that I'm here because of the good grace of God. Are y'all with me? Meditate. Boys, stop and meditate and think about what you're doing. Think about your decisions. Go to one of these and ask for some advice. You know who Corinthians says to go to? The least esteemed in the body. He said, find the least esteemed in the body and sit down with them for counsel. Isn't God good? I haven't been to Bible college. You don't need to go. You need to follow the Word of God and listen to it and live by it. And when you mess up, confess it, forsake it, and live for Jesus. 25, knew her not till she brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Everybody who needs to know what that means knows what it means. It's just that simple. There is not one verse, help me if I'm wrong. He had scriptural reasons to put her away. And as far as I can tell, there was not one scriptural mandate that said, look at the end of verse 24. I don't know of one scriptural principle or mandate that he couldn't have had marital relations with her. The angel didn't. He's got all his information straight from heaven. On his own. Because he had so much respect for her and so much respect for what she was carrying. He said, I won't touch her as a husband and wife. And everybody, you're thinking, and the town's thinking, do they think they're going to cover this up the way people have been covering it up for 4,000 years? Oh, no. Joseph knew his name was what it was. And taking her just gave evidence to all the yappers. Did y'all know there were yappers 2,000 years ago? He knew none of that was going to change anything. But guess who knew? Joseph, Mary, and God. And Joseph had so much love and respect for his God, Jehovah, that he said, I'll just respect what's going on in her precious womb, her virgin womb, and I won't touch her. And this baby will be God's, and nobody will ever know any, nobody will ever have any evidence to the contrary. It's a big deal. Now look at the verse. New or not, what's the next word? They were a family. They did have children. Mary did birth babies. You're saying, preacher, of course. The Catholic Church teaches that Mary was a virgin until the day she died. That's part of their doctrine. The perpetual virginity. So they can worship her. Mary and Joseph had a family. Biblically, I want you to know that. The truth is, the stronger truth, the life-changing truth for us is, Joseph had so much respect for her and for God that he refrained himself. That's why I call it maturity, and said, I'll just let God get all the glory here. Is there not a lesson there for us? When God meets with us and we know him, we experience him. That's what it means. That's holy and that is reverent. And we're not going to go home and take credit for it and post about it. We'll thank God for service. Do a testimony online if you want to. But Brother Michael, we're not going to. He said he'd share his glory with no man. And I refuse to take any of his glory from him. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need our musicians. God doesn't need our choir. God doesn't need our specials. God doesn't need those folks. God doesn't need any of us here. And when he meets with us, it is all his glory. That's what's going on there. And it takes maturity.